The imposition of the no-fly zone over Libya came just in time for Benghazi, the opposition stronghold that was under imminent threat from Muammar Gaddafi at this time last week. The BBC's Kevin Connolly was there in the heady and optimistic early days of the uprising in Libya. He's back now and has been talking to people about their experiences.
They were attacking us in the western checkpoint of the western entrance of the city. It's next to my house.
Everyone has their own account of Gaddafi's last attack on this rebellious city last weekend.
On the bridge, on the roundabout, and he started to attack the...
The first time I met Hisham al-Lamri in Benghazi, he was arguing passionately in favor of Allied airstrikes. Just as well, really. One of the tanks in Gaddafi's offensive had reached his street in Benghazi before French fighter planes eventually destroyed it. It is Hisham's first experience of war.
In this moment, time is going very fast, and at the same time, it's quite slow. You don't understand. You don't know what to do. Especially, I have no weapon, even a little gun. I didn't know what to do. Just some stones. What I'm going to do against the tanks? With some tones, so you don't know what to do. You try to escape.
What did you do?
We escaped. We escaped, and there was no possibilities. I mean, we have some weapons, but not enough. Still not enough.
It's 4 o'clock in Benghazi, and you would call this rush hour, I suppose, if it was possible to rush anywhere. The sound of gunfire is coming from a young man perched rather precariously on the roof of a people carrier. Looks like an old-fashioned hunting rifle to me. He is celebrating, of course, the freedom that he was preparing to defend last weekend. Like everybody else in Benghazi, he has to face the question of what comes next. The time frame over which this has evolved from street protest to armed rebellion to civil war with Allied air cover has been breathtakingly quick. No one here was prepared for it. And no one is really sure how to move things forward now.
It's horrible living through all of this, but I haven't lived through it yet, and I'm still very tentative about how it's going to end.
Mary Bubtana is a teacher at the British school in Benghazi, or at least she will be when it reopens, whenever that might be. Millions of Libyans are desperate to see the end of Gaddafi, of course. But they are almost equally desperate for a return to the normal rhythms of daily life.
The children really need to get back to school. They need normality. They need to feel that things are back in place. But it's obviously not safe at the moment, even in Benghazi, to open a school.
On the plus side, signs of Benghazi's new freedoms are everywhere. Taxi drivers like to play the long-defunct anthem of King Idris, the ineffectual monarch deposed by Muammar Gaddafi when he was leading a revolution and not trying to crush one. For the rebels, normal life is on hold. Jalal el-Galal is an unlikely revolutionary, an engineer and businessman whose company installs lifts. This is what it feels like when an ordinary life is caught up in an extraordinary moment.
You know, before that, I wasn't very keen on elevators. I was doing a very good job, but I wasn't very keen on it. But now I wouldn't mind going back to installing elevators any day. I'm looking forward to putting back elevators when this country is free, when this country is settled, when peace will reign here. It would be very good. I guess maybe even putting elevators up will have a different taste to it.
And if things go very well, then people are going to need a lot of new elevators in this country.
I hope so. I really hope so. But I'll give them for half price if we win.
In the joyous early days of the Libyan uprising, the rebels believed their movement for democracy would just sweep Muammar Gaddafi away. Now they are settling in for a longer and grimmer fight, knowing that a prolonged conflict will change the character of their revolution and perhaps change the very country they are fighting to liberate.
That report from the BBC's Kevin Connolly in Benghazi. Back in 30 seconds, here and now.